Welcome to the Riverwood Chapel Podcast. We're so excited you're here. Please check out our other content and video uploads at riverwoodchapel.org. Thank you.
Welcome for all those who are here in the room, those who are watching online. We are so glad you are here. And I was telling Josh earlier, I said, we are going to get people to teach children who've never done it before here at our church, and I'm excited about that. So please be open to maybe how God might be reaching out to you to help in our regathering and in being on the front lines of teaching our children. Well, this is an incredible season we find ourselves in, and the season I'm talking about is the season of TV commercials. Who's excited about Super Bowl TV commercials? I've been asking people all week, like, what is your favorite, like, commercial that you remember? People talk about Clydesdales. People are talking about Doritos. Who remembers the Jordan versus Bird commercial? They're playing pig or whatever. Yeah, that was a good one. People talking about avocados, puppy, monkey, babies. I mean, all of those commercials that are upon us. And in this season, I also have my own favorite set of commercials. Anybody fan of Dr. Rick? Progressive Insurance, right? He's basically a life coach on not becoming your parents. Parentamorphosis is what he calls it. And to give you a little flavor of that, let's just watch 30 seconds. Here's one of those commercials.
To live, laugh, and love?
Yes.
The answer is no.
I can help new homeowners not.
Noah.
No.
Joaquin.
No.
It just takes practice.
Give it a shot.
Do you hear that?
Yeah.
It's a constant battle.
We're going to open a PDF. Who's next?
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto with us.
No fussing, no cussing, and no...
That doesn't describe anybody out here, does it? Yes, I love the commercials. They always make me laugh because, in a sense, I see myself at times being like that, right? My kids make fun of me, and especially as I connect with the guy who's sitting in the chair, it's like, ugh! I find myself groaning a little bit more as I'm getting older. But getting older, it's not that bad. I keep telling my kids, I mean, look at this guy. He's getting older, and he seems to be doing fine, right? Tom Brady, I got some Tom Brady fans? No? All right. Well, this morning, we're going to be talking about this thing of groaning, and that's going to be kind of where our focus is. And I'm not talking about achy bones and groaning. I'm talking about something that affects young and old alike, that when you look out into our world, this idea of groaning is something's not right. Something is unsettled. Something doesn't make sense. And you're struggling, and there's pain, and you look at this world in a certain way, and you are groaning. That's the title of our sermon today, this idea of groaning. What does that mean biblically, and where is this conversation headed? We're going to be in God's Word to kind of give us some direction in that. So for all those who are here, those who are watching, let's get our Bibles out. So we're going to be in God's Word. Every Sunday, we have not gathered to hear the opinions of man. You don't want to know what Cole thinks. You want to know what God thinks, and that's what we strive hard to do each and every Sunday. And we walk through God's Word as we do that as a church. Expository teaching and preaching is what we love to do, to really allow this book to be the authority as God is speaking to all of us. So we're in the midst of a study through the book of Romans, and if you're just joining us online, you're like, oh, I'm in the middle of it. It's okay. We have walked through seven chapters of Romans, and we said that's really kind of our story. The story of humanity through the first seven chapters. And now we've been in, for the last number of weeks, in chapter 8 of Romans, probably one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture. And I said a couple of weeks ago, we've been walking through learning about the Holy Spirit. And what are we learning about the Holy Spirit? Well, we're learning that the Spirit that dwells within gives us incredible privileges. For those who are in Christ, there are wonderful wonderful things. You have been set free. We talked about a different mindset. We talked about the assurance that knowing that you have a future that is secure. All those privileges, but then last week we also said we also have an obligation to the Spirit, our obligation to be holy as he calls us to be holy. And so now we continue in this conversation of the Holy Spirit, this topic of groaning, and in chapter 8, verse 18 is where we will continue. It'll be on the screens, and here's what God's Word says. Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." All right, so the title of the sermon, groaning, it comes from verse 22. You see it right here. Creation has been groaning together. And this idea of groaning is exactly what it sounds like. It's alluding to pain. It's indicating that there's an unsettledness that indicates that something is not right, something isn't working. And this word of groaning is not just here in the New Testament, but it goes all the way back into the Old Testament as well. And as I've been reading with the group of our people who are reading through the Bible, I know there's a group reading through the Old Testament. I'm a part of that group. And I saw the very first occurrence of that just the other day. I'll take a short break here to say this. If you're not reading God's Word with us, why aren't you? I mean, it's a great way. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on app, a computer. It's real easy. If you go actually to our website and you go down to Next Steps, you can see, and it has Bible reading plans. You can connect in there, and it'll walk you right through. You can read the whole Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, maybe just the Proverbs and Psalms, and it's great because we read it individually. You can even comment. You can see other people's comments. It's a wonderful, wonderful tool. I encourage you to take advantage of that. All right. So anyway, back to the story. So we are walking through the Old Testament. I'm reading the Old Testament, and now I'm going through Exodus, and I'm like, whoa, here it is. Here is another occurrence. It happened to be the first occurrence of the word groaning in the Scriptures. Well, what's the story? Well, it goes all the way back to when God's people were in Egypt. I don't know if you remember this story or not. They're in Egypt, forced slavery. They're now making bricks without straw. It's really almost impossible to do. The Scriptures say there was ruthless labor that was happening to God's people. And in Exodus, this is what it says. It said, "During those days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned." There it is. They groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Something wasn't right. Something is unsettled. Something in their heart, they can't connect everything, and so what do? They cry out to God. That's the response. Notice what happens. The cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning. He heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew what they were walking through. Now, it didn't mean that there was instantaneous relief from the groaning, and there's a whole narrative in the Old Testament, but there it is. God's people were groaning. Something isn't right in the world. He hears them, and he has compassion. He understands. All right, so now we go from the Old Testament, and believe me, there's lots of other examples we could look at, from the Psalms to Job. But now we jump back into our passage in the New Testament. This is the occurrences of the word groaning here in Romans. And so in our conversation this morning, there's going to be three areas of groaning, three conversations of groaning we're going to have. And the first one is in this area of what I call that creation is groaning, the groaning of creation. Creation is groaning. Why do I say that? Verses that we just read, 18 through 22, that word of creation is mentioned four times, like it is the subject of the groaning. And specifically in verses 20 and 21, notice this, it says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope of that the creation itself," right here, "will be set free from its bondage to corruption and to obtain the freedom from the glory of the children of God." Now, when you read that, you're looking at it. I know you're looking at it at home and you're thinking, well, when did that happen? Like, what's really Paul talking about? Well, Paul is alluding to something that happened a long time ago, and he's alluding to a book of the Bible that goes all the way back to the very beginning. He's talking the Genesis story here. That's what Paul's talking about. That all the way back in creation, all the way from the very beginning, if you remember, in 6 days, God created the world. And at the end of that, he said, "It is very good." But then Genesis 3 happens. Remember Genesis 3? And bad news, sin entered the world. And not only did sin enter the world, everything went and was affected. Human beings were affected from sin and guilt. But not only humans, creation also feels the effects of sin. How many of you have ever heard of the name Charles Spurgeon? Charles Spurgeon is a pastor, British, late 1800s. His sermons are legendary. You can read them. And Spurgeon, he has a comment on this passage. And I guarantee you, once you hear what he says, you will never forget this metaphor. It'll stick with you, I guarantee. He says this. He says, "Creation glows with 1,000 beauties." I agree. "Yet clearly enough it is not as when it came from the Maker's hand." True. And then he says this, "For now the slime of the serpent is on all. This is not the world which God pronounced to be very good." Did you catch that? The slime of the serpent is on everything. And the first thing it's on, he talks about, is on creation. And we see it in small ways, don't we? We go out and we see decay. We see things degrading. But then we even see it on larger scales. I was thinking about, like, where do we see it? And here's an example. I mean, this past year, in the midst of global pandemic, we've also witnessed California wildfires. Think about this. Millions of acres that are burning. And these winds that sweep across, that engulf houses and buildings, you sit back and you think, something isn't right about this world. I mean, there is something that hopefully leaves you unsettled to see, wow, it's not right. That's one example. Here's another one. Back in 2004, who remembers the tsunami that took the lives of 200,000 people plus? You remember that? And here's a picture of it. And I think, like, this is another groaning of creation. You look at something like this and you think to yourself, this isn't right. There's something that's unsettled about that. But then probably one of the greatest examples is what we're living through right now. Isn't there something unsettling about a virus that covers our planet? Something isn't right about that. Something is off. We struggle with it. Why is it happening? And we think, you know, something that covers the planet. We have an answer to that. Paul says, creation is groaning. It's struggling. And we see that in little ways, but also in great ways. And we are all witnesses of this each and every day. All right, so Paul, he tells us the bad news, but he also weaves in another truth that we need to hear, that in the midst of all of this groaning, there is also this thing of hope. the God who allowed there to be this idea of suffering and unsettledness is also the God who weaves hope into the narrative. Notice what he says. It goes all the way back to verse 22, that even though there's all of this thing of bondage and corruption and futility, he says, because of him who subjected it, there's also this thing of hope in the midst of creation. Creation is longing to be going back to this thing of being very good. Right now, it is good. It is wanting and groaning to be very good. In verse 22, Paul uses another very powerful metaphor, and he says it this way. He says, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together, and then he says this, in the pains of childbirth until now. Well, let's just say that metaphor is a little bit hard for the men in the room. I happened to be there three times when it happened, childbirth. And I was talking with my wife this past week, you know, tell me what was, and I know it was there. I was the one getting the popsicles and the cups of water and let's calm, take some breaths, you know, but she was the one who lived it. And she talked about, you know, the pain, the intense pain, the contractions. And then she said this, she said, once you get to the moment where you're holding your baby, you almost feel like, wow, that pain is subsiding. You had to go through the pain to get to that point. And that's what Paul's trying to tell us here, that right now creation is in the labor room, but there is a moment where it will be delivered. It's coming. There is a moment when things will go back to being very good. A new heaven and a new earth is in God's plan. But until then, we live in a world that is groaning. All right, so that's the first conversation of groaning. I think we see it. We understand it. Part two of the groaning goes into verse 23. There's a new subject of what is groaning. Notice what Paul says. He says, and not only the creation, part one, but we ourselves. We, that's the pronoun here. We ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit who groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Part one, creation groans. Part two, this is what I say, it's called the groaning of Christ followers. As Christ followers, when you are now found in him, there is a different kind of groaning that takes place. And this groaning is not just about achy bodies and it's hard to get up in the morning. There's a much bigger groaning that happens. And Paul even alluded to this earlier in Romans when he would say this. He said, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, believers, Christ followers, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Son who dwells in you. And so what Paul is saying is that as Christ followers, we are groaning, and there's the Spirit inside of us that is groaning and groaning, and we look out, and that groaning is about the sin that is upon us. The sin that plagues, it's at the heart kind of level. Oh, we're wrestling with this. One of the reformers, his name was Martin Luther, he had a quote that went something like this. I have 2 days on my calendar, this day and that day. This day, talking about the wrestling and the groaning and the sin and the, I mean, Romans chapter 7. This day. But Luther also said, I look forward to that day when things will be set right again, when it'll be a different narrative because I will be with Christ. This day of groaning, that day of glory. This day of living in the labor room, that day of being about delivery. And this is where our hope lies as Christ followers. This is what Paul talks about in these passages as well, of the hope. You notice what he talked about. He says the hope that we don't see, the hope that we can't wrap our eyes around and our hands around, is the hope that we have. Paul's been talking about this all along. And my prayer is that as a church, and for those who are watching, that you would understand that hope. That even in the midst of struggle and difficulty and creation that is groaning, you would see your need for Christ in your life. And it doesn't mean that he's going to take away your groaning, but what he is going to implant in you is that hope that there will be something very unique on that day. That day, you will be in glory. Do you believe this? Do you know that truth? We've been talking about it a lot on Sunday mornings as we walk through the book of Romans, and Paul wants you to know that as well. Do you have that kind of relationship with him where the Spirit dwells within? It means surrendering your life to his Son, Jesus Christ, and then the wonderful Spirit that dwells. What a great story it is. All right, so here are the two conversations so far. We've had the creation-growing conversation. We've had the, as Christ followers, we too are groaning, longing for that day. But really that leaves us at this point. But what do you do with that? It's kind of a depressing story. What do you do with all of this groaning? Yes, creation is growing. We are groaning, but now what? Much like Exodus, we are the people who stand here like, we're trying to cry out to God. Like, what are you doing? It's painful and difficult. But what we're about to see next is that third area of conversation that has an answer. And if you're watching at home and you are getting a snack and you miss something, this is the part you want to hear. Because there is something so encouraging that it's remarkable. Romans 8:26 is probably the second most important verse in Romans. I think 8:1 is probably the most important. Those who are in Christ, there's now no condemnation. But if you are a Christ follower, Romans 8:26, this is going to be good. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul. For all those who are groaning, these are the words you need to hear. Paul says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. There have been a handful of moments when I have been speaking and I have needed a translator. I don't know if you've ever had that experience before of using a translator. It's a little bit awkward. You kind of get into this rhythm where you say a sentence, and then they say a sentence, and you say a sentence, and then they say a sentence. Back and forth you go. Well, on the last time we were in the Dominican Republic, we took someone who was from our church. His name was Jeff. He knew Spanish real well. And the great thing is he knew Lon and myself. And so there we are in the Dominican, and we're teaching. And I'm in this rhythm with Jeff. We're going back and forth. And I tell this, I'm telling this story, and it had kind of a funny moment in it. It had kind of a metaphor I was using. And the next thing I know is that Jeff is now saying a lot more words than he normally was used to saying. It's like now everything has been put on pause as Jeff is now saying something. And at the end, there's like some laughter. And so in that moment, I turned to Jeff and I said, what did you just do? Like, what just happened here? And he said, well, this is what I told them. I told them that Pastor Cole here, he used this metaphor and this joke in his church, and the people thought it was really funny. And I had to then explain to the men here of why it was funny, and they're not really catching why it was funny. And so I had to kind of go into in-depth kind of analysis of this kind of joke for them. And I think he also asked them to politely laugh at the end, to which they did. And so what Paul is doing here, what he's explaining here, is much like what Jeff did, like not just the translation of words, but the translation of meaning. But even what the Spirit does is even greater than that. Because I know for those who are groaning and you're in the midst of creation that is groaning, you are groaning, it's almost as if God like speaks another language. It's like you're trying to express yourself and you're trying to reach out and you're crying out, much like those in Exodus, and you're like, why is this happening? What do I do? What are you doing? And there is this groaning that is happening. But what the passage says here is something so significant. You have to catch this. That in those moments of groaning, we don't have a translator. We have someone, notice the word here. We have someone who is interceding for us. Interceding. What does that mean? It means this. It means pleading, appealing. That when you are groaning about this world and the things that aren't right and the things you're struggling with, you have the Spirit that is groaning for you, that is pleading. It's almost as if the Spirit is pleading on its knees in front of your Heavenly Father on your behalf. Notice this. The Spirit is crying out with words that are too deep because you can't put words to it, but the Spirit is in front of our Heavenly Father pleading, appealing to our Heavenly Father, saying, this is their heart. This is what they can't express. Please hear them. Is there any greater gift than that? Is there any greater gift than to have the Spirit interceding for us who groan and can't express it? I don't know about you, but that is encouragement. It's encouraging to know that there is one who can put words to our struggle. What are you groaning for this morning? Like, where is your heart groaning? For those who are in Christ, this is great news. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're watching. Because you need to hear this. Because even in the midst of your struggle of loss, your struggle of battle, wherever it is, I don't know where it is for you, wherever you are groaning, the Spirit's interceding for you. Interceding. So let me pull back the curtain here a little bit, and I'll tell you what I'm groaning for. Like, what is Pastor Cole groaning for? Many times I sit in my office and I look out the window, and in this season that we find ourselves, this is where I am groaning. I don't know how to put words to it anymore. But it simply is under the subject of, I want there to be unity in God's church. I want there to be unity in God's church. And it's a complicated conversation that involves masks or no masks, vaccines or no vaccines, And it weaves politics into the whole thing. And people are divided, and people share strong opinions. And believe me, I have been on the end of those who have written messages to me saying, oh, people wear masks in your church. You must have no faith. No thanks, I'm never coming again. And I think to myself, and I groan, and I think, I don't know what else to say. But I'll tell you, this past week, my heart is encouraged. Why? Because the one in my life is interceding for me. There's one who is groaning. And just so you know, he's groaning for me on behalf of you. He's groaning. I picture the Spirit just like, God's people at Riverwood, please be united. Father, make it happen. And he's pleading and pleading and appealing to work in the hearts of people to make that happen. Because I don't have words for it. I don't have words for it. But the Spirit does. Where does he need to groan for you? Where is that space of groaning? Here's the really encouraging part. You know, you work through these three conversations of groaning from the creation to we ourselves and then to the Spirit who groans on our behalf. All of this culminates in this verse, which I know you've heard 100 times before. But in the context, notice where this is all going. It goes to this. Paul then says, on the heels of all of this groaning conversation, and we know that for those who love God, all things work. Isn't it interesting? In a world where things aren't working, at least we don't think they're working, and many times they're not working, notice what it says, all things are working together for good. He doesn't use very good. That will be on that day. But right now, it's good. God is working all things good. Right now, he's in control. He hears the groans of his people. And guess what? I'm good with that. This gives me a moment to rest right here. In the midst of all of my anxiousness and all of my groanings, I then can sleep at night with this verse right here. As we know, for all those who love God, all things are working together. And even the unity of his church. It's going to be okay. God's got it under control. His Spirit is interceding and pleading in ways I never can. And at the end of the day, he is the one who's got it taken care of. May all of us rest in this truth of Romans 8:28. All the things of groaning, all the things of pleading, all of the things we worry about, I hope you have found encouragement in this last half hour. I know I have. Our God is doing great things. And the Spirit that dwells within his people, wow, an incredible power. Let's go to him now and pray and maybe even groan in these moments. Dear Lord, we come before you as your people. And we recognize the world is broken. There's a lot of groaning that we can point to. We start talking about death and disease and that list keeps going on and on. But we also realize it in our own lives as Christ followers that we walk in a different way. We are strangers in this world in many ways. We live in these days, this day, but our hearts are drawn to that day. And so we groan. We groan for our neighbors. We groan for our family, we groan for our community. We are in this moment, we are groaning for Kent. And we don't even know how to put words to it, but we know that we want you to be glorified in the people who are in this community. And I know that I'm resting in the fact that the Spirit is on its knees pleading these things to our Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, thank you for hearing your people, and thank you for gifting us with the Spirit that dwells within, that is doing a mighty work in us and through us for your kingdom. Even as we walk in the midst of wilderness moments, you are doing a great work. And at the end of the day, we rest in you. Thank you for hearing us and interceding for us. We love you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.